You're listening to Lower Road Radio, voted by Podcast Monthly as one of the top 50 sports radio podcasts to premiere in January of 2016. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what sportspodcast.biz.gov calls subpar at best.
Hey, this is Dan Owings, coming at you another time for Lower Road Radio. This is episode 84 of the Lower Road Radio with my co-host, as always, Jason. How are you doing today?
We're going to have to drop Coca-Cola as an official sponsor.
This is awkward. We've given them a lot of press. What did they do?
Making me fat. Not the P-H-A-T kind either.
Uh-huh.
F-A-T.
Yeah, not Jamaicin' me fat.
Jamaicin' me fat, man.
So you cut the Coke.
Cold turkey.
Yeah.
About 4.5 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. This is like Saturday morning, something like that.
Right.
And I was so thirsty. Like, I woke up from thirst.
Yes. That's, yeah.
And I went down. It's a big deal.
It's a real thing.
It is a real thing. Yeah. So I went downstairs to grab a drink, and I went for the Coke.
As you do.
As one does. And I thought, what the heck am I doing?
What has happened to me?
It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm reaching for a Coke.
What have we become? Ooh.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know that song?
No.
Okay.
Whatever. So at that moment, I drank a water.
You drank a water.
I drank a water.
Okay.
I done drunk it.
Because you said, that's it. So you poured all the Cokes down the...
Oh, no. Let's not get carried away.
What?
They're still there.
Okay.
It's like emergency. Mm. Like if something happens and I need it.
Like cleaning a car battery.
Yeah. Or something like that.
Okay.
So in the last like 5 days, I haven't even touched Coke.
I watched this video online 2 days ago of this Russian dude that dug a really deep hole.
Yeah.
And then put like a tarp in it.
Yeah.
And filled it with something like 30,000 gallons of Coke, like 1-2 liter bottle at a time.
Yeah.
And then built a ramp in front of it.
Yeah.
And drove a car into it. And it like crashed in it.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was waiting for something.
And then what?
That was it. That was a little...
It's so stupid.
It was really stupid. And the guy's like super excited about it. And it was the dumbest thing. But you know what? I watched the whole video because I was like, it was like, man, I don't know, like emerges car into giant
Coca-Cola
pool. Now the
crazy part is like 48 hours later, the car is disintegrated.
Yeah, completely disintegrated. Yeah, probably.
So in my 5 days of no Coke, I've lost 4 pounds.
Congratulations.
Almost a pound a day.
You feel better?
I do feel better.
Really?
The first 2 days I felt awful.
Sure.
Like head pounding.
The shakes.
The shakes. Uh-huh. I was like in the fetal position.
Uh-huh.
It was really, really bad.
Right.
But this, like today, I felt better today than I felt like in years.
Is it affecting your basketball game? For those of you who, and I'm just talking about Johnny Meadows and Adam the Male Nurse, who follow our basketball score group. I haven't been able to update. I've been having problems with the copy paste, but suffice it to say, I am running away with the competition.
You've won the last couple days.
I've won, I think, at least 4 out of the last 5.
Yeah,
maybe more.
I don't know. But part of that, I was in my shakes. I had the Coke shakes.
Okay. What about today? You said you felt better today than you have in a long time.
Yeah, once the day got started, I mean,
okay.
We do basketball like at, you know, 6 in the morning.
Right.
And I'm still trying to wake up.
And I won.
You won one of the games today.
No. You won.
I won pig.
Yes. And then I won 20 and double dribble and 7.
And then I won 5.
You created this new game 5, which is weird and impossible for anybody to
win. It's an awesome game.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway. So we got a couple things to start off with as far as corrections go. First of all, if you're a regular listener of the show, just want to say thank you for listening to the show. You might have noticed that there was a gap in your listenership. There was a week long, and you thought, oh, did Dan and Jason go on vacation?
Yeah.
Was there a family emergency? No, we recorded 2 episodes.
Uh-huh.
They were just garbage.
That was the worst thing we've ever done.
Listen, our normal show isn't
Subpar at best.
It's subpar as advertised. Yes. Subpar at best. We're not your Mike Greenbergs. You know.
Nobody expects us to be.
Your Dan Patricks.
We're not Tony Kornheiser.
Come on, what are we talking about? But we feel like we have a certain level of expectancy.
Yeah, we're a solid C plus program.
Feels like it was later than normal.
It was like midnight when we recorded.
Yeah, I had a really long day, long week, long life. You know. I was stressed out and I was tired, and our second episode, I don't think we talked about anything. I think we just rambled for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And so we just said, you know what?
Scrap it.
We don't need to post that for the world to hear.
No.
If you want to, did you delete the files?
No, I still have them.
If you want to, you can pay a premium of
$1 million.
$1 million. There you go. And we'll give you the episodes, the lost episodes. I don't know why you would want to listen to them. You shouldn't be driving, because you might just veer your car off the road on purpose.
I don't want to get into it, but we talked about 35 minutes about pipe smoking.
Tobacco pipe, just so everybody knows.
No, crack pipe. No.
No, what are we talking about? We talked a lot about smoking a pipe. I'd say, for about 35 minutes, we just rambled.
And when it was done, I'm like, what did we just do?
It was awful.
Yeah.
I knew it was bad, but I was hoping it was like so bad it was good.
No.
But it was so bad
it was just bad.
So we spared you. I apologize for not having more episodes for you to listen to, but we're back and better than ever, as Mike Greenberg says.
We are back.
I'm refreshed. Yeah. I'm ready to go.
Feel great.
All right.
Well, and we were in Studio B.
Yeah, we were in Studio B. It was out of my element.
Yeah.
It was your studio.
Yes, it was my personal studio.
Your personal studio. And I was on the wrong side of the desk.
Yeah.
And my knees were like, I didn't have a place for like my knees to go. So they're like pressing up, so I'm like leaning forward. I was super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The
whole thing was weird.
It was not good.
Yeah.
But
we're back.
We're
better than ever.
That's yesterday.
Well, it was last week.
You know, yesterday is yesterday. You can't change it. Tomorrow, it's the future. Let it be. Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present.
Did you hear our baseball coach say that?
Your baseball coach said that?
Yeah.
Who?
Our head coach, Coach Andy.
I did not know that.
Yeah, no, because you went to the game, Harrison's game, the other day.
Yeah.
And he said that to everybody. Like, that was a pregame speech.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cheesy.
Yeah.
To a bunch of 8 and 9 year olds?
Yeah. So, I know that everybody cares.
Nobody does, but continue.
Our team pitched a no hitter.
Hey, a no hitter. That's hard to do.
It was kid pitch.
Kid pitch. Kid pitch no hitter.
Kid pitch no hitter between three different pitchers.
Man, they must have been locked in.
We lost 9-5.
Oh, boy. I watched a little bit of it. It wasn't pretty.
No.
Lot of way outside balls.
Yeah. Well, they're afraid to hit the batter.
Right.
So they're trying to overcompensate and throw it like 3 feet to the left.
Right. And they walk a lot of people, wild balls.
Pass balls, yeah.
And your catcher can't throw anybody out, even if it was a perfect pitch. So they just steal every time.
Right.
It's really ugly. It's not even baseball.
No.
It's something else.
I don't know what it is, but yeah.
It's that awkward in-between, we don't know what we're doing.
Next year be Little League, and that like elevates it.
Sure.
But that first year of kid pitch is bad.
It's ugly.
Actually, coach pitch was way better.
Yeah.
They were cranking the ball and hitting it.
Sure, they're confident.
Yeah. This is just complete garbage.
Motorcycle taking off in the background.
Yeah, I was trying to just talk over it.
Well, people can still hear it.
So that was ugly, but what was really, really good, and you missed it.
Okay.
Last Saturday,
Gideon
scored 4 of our 6 goals in soccer.
Yeah.
Completely, like single-handedly won the game for us.
Wow.
We won 6-4.
So
6-2. I'm sorry.
If you're keeping track, Jason's soccer team is undefeated.
Undefeated. I'm an undefeated soccer coach.
Wow.
I know nothing about soccer.
Less than nothing.
Yeah.
You're like actively hurting their soccer knowledge.
All I know is Gideon is really, really, really fast.
He's fast.
And if he is on a breakaway, he's going to score.
Forget about it. Well, okay. So I'm sure everybody's happy about that to be informed.
You have another big correction there.
Yes. That was what I was getting to. Another big correction. So on our last, maybe not our last episode, but 2 episodes ago, we're talking about the new phenomenon of Aaron Judge.
Yes.
He's amazing.
we were ready to crown him as the best second baseman ever.
I was about ready to say, is it him or is it Honus Wagner?
Yeah.
Maybe Honus Wagner was a shortstop.
We don't know.
It doesn't matter.
It was
matter.
Like in 1890.
Yeah, they didn't even have normal positions back then.
Although Aaron Judge plays in 2017.
Yes, and he's apparently not a second baseman. Adam, the male nurse, who's a big Yankee fan, immediately texted the show.
Yeah.
And said, hey guys, love the Aaron Judge talk, but he's not a second baseman. He's a right fielder. So, I don't know how I missed it.
He plays on the right side of the field, whether it's second base or right field.
I want to say I saw him standing next to the shortstop.
They're probably pregame talking.
Yeah. You know. And I just thought, oh, he's a second baseman.
Yeah. Or maybe he hit a double and he's like standing on second base.
I don't watch a lot of the Yankees. I'm a Reds fan and I have local Indians games. Yeah. So that's what I know about. Yeah. I don't know.
Although the Reds beat the Yankees, I think, twice.
Not twice. Well, unless they beat them today.
Oh, I didn't see the score today.
Yeah, so they're 1-1 this series. So, the Reds are still winning, which is weird.
I don't get it. They should not be nearly. No. They're overperforming.
If you're a Reds fan, you kind of have to be thinking, can we have Todd Frazier back? And can we have Brandon Phillips back? And can we have Chapman back? Yeah. And, you know, maybe a couple of the other guys over the last couple of years that we've given up?
Yeah.
Because maybe if we had those guys, we could be, like, winning.
Yeah, you would think so. Jay Bruce?
Yeah. Well, Jay Bruce is hot this year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. So, correction, our apologies. Aaron Judge is not a second baseman for now. He's a 6 foot.
He might convert to second base. We don't know.
Yeah, after he listens to this. He's a 6'7" baseball crushing machine.
Right fielder.
He crushes, as far as I know, he plays the right field.
Slash DH?
He'll probably, you would assume a guy that big, the wear and tear on his body, he's just going to have to transition into a DH at some point in his career, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You think it's harder to pitch to a tall guy in some senses? Like, his reach
is more. I think it's a bigger zone.
But it's just a bigger strike zone, so it's an advantage.
Yeah. Small guy, real small strike zone. He's swinging in a small area.
Can you think of another? How tall was Daryl Strawberry?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, he's the only other. I'm trying to think of another tall.
Randy Johnson.
Well, yeah, as a pitcher. There have been tall pitchers, guys that tall, but like tall hitters, I can't think of a Daryl Strawberry. All right, here we go. I'm going to guess before looking at it. I know Aaron Judge is 6'7". I'm going to guess Daryl Strawberry is 6'5".
Okay, I'll say, I was thinking the same thing.
Well, I'm on Wikipedia. You think they would show that kind of stuff?
Nobody knows. It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. We know that he was born March 12th, 1962.
That's the phrase.
In Los Angeles,
California. The future's a mystery.
The future's a mystery. The past is history. But today is a gift. That's why they call it the present.
Yeah. That was our pregame speech by our coach.
Did it do anything for your kids?
Well, we pitched a no-hitter, so I would say yes.
Yeah. Daryl Strawberry Height. H-E-I. Okay.
I wonder if Google could be a sponsor, because we Google stuff every episode.
Daryl Strawberry's 6'6".
Okay.
So,
in the same ballpark.
Yeah, he's right there. So, pun intended, maybe? I don't know. Same ballpark. We're talking about baseball.
Oh, I missed that.
All right. So, one of the things that we're going to pretend to start doing but probably not follow up is we're going to look back first at what happened, and then we're going to look forward to what's going to happen.
We typically do that. In general.
Never like officially doing it.
Yeah.
So what do we have to look back on, Jason?
Well, the NFL draft.
Yes.
Which we kind of talked about in the last episode.
Mm-hmm. We basically decided that, which we already talked about last year, there is no point in judging the draft.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Although,
as
a Browns fan.
Right.
I feel like they made some good moves.
Defense,
yeah. I mean, Myles Garrett and Jabril Peppers.
Did you like the tight end?
No.
Yeah.
Did not like the tight end. They had a chance to get T.J. Watt. He was the very next pick in the draft. And I know that you're like, T.J. Watt, whatever.
Yeah, if his brother wasn't J.J. Watt, then you wouldn't be this strong about it.
Well, he played for Wisconsin, and he did well against Ohio State.
Okay.
I mean, we saw him play, and so...
I don't really watch sports anymore, but continue.
What I'm saying is the Browns had a chance to get three defensive studs in the first round.
And they didn't.
They didn't. They went with a tight end. And the truth is, the best tight end on the planet, maybe in the history of football.
I'd say definitely in the history.
Gronkowski, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt.
He gets injured.
Yeah.
And the Patriots still win the Super Bowl.
Right. So maybe a tight end is not that important.
Maybe a tight end is not that important.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, if it's a blocking tight end, why are you wasting a first-round pick on it? If it's a receiving tight end, we just saw Gronkowski go hurt and win a Super Bowl without him. Right. Tight end, not that important.
Right.
So, Deshaun Kizer, quarterback out of Notre Dame, I'm happy because it wasn't a high pick.
Uh-huh.
Second, third round or whatever they got him for. I think it was second round.
Right.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I think it's solid.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott was a third round guy.
Yeah. Jabril Peppers.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah. A lot of people are hating on that pick.
Yeah,
if you look at his college statistics, they're kind of pathetic.
He's a stud.
I think he's just an athlete, and I think his presence out there.
Yes.
I think he's going to be a good pro. All I know is that when I watched him play Ohio State, I was like, this guy is a step above.
Right.
He just seemed faster than everybody else.
Well, I also think that because I think he was doing a lot in college.
Right.
Special teams and offense and defense mm-hmm. and everything.
Marijuana.
And if he could just focus on one thing,
mm-hmm.
maybe returns, punt returns and defense.
Right.
If he just did that,
yeah,
I think he could be really, really good.
Well, a great punt returner is a weapon. There's no doubt about it.
But you're not drafting a first-round guy as just a punt returner.
He needs to be a safety.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I mean.
Right. Yeah. You make him a safety, don't you think?
Yeah. I'm not an expert. Not under any stretch. I'm not pretending to be. I would love to see a team take safeties and turn them into linebackers just to increase the speed.
Yeah.
Because we get these linebackers and they're really big to stop the run,
mm-hmm.
but the NFL's changing and we get more passing and guys are passing for 5,000 yards a season.
Yeah.
Like let's see what happens if we make those linebackers like smaller and faster.
I think the Cowboys would kill you because they just have a huge offensive line and they run downhill with a big running back.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of that.
There are very few teams that do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be a matchup thing, but,
right.
Can you imagine Jabril Peppers as an outside linebacker who's guarding a tight end and blitzing occasionally
right.
and dropping back in coverage?
I mean,
to me, that's linebacker is the most critical position on the field, mm-hmm. I think, on defense, because you're doing everything.
Yeah.
You're playing the line and you're dropping back.
Right.
It's the most versatile position. Mm-hmm. You got to do so much from that position.
Well, either way, I think with a guy like that, you have to find a way to be creative and let him be creative and not put him in a box because he seems like that kind of player.
Is there any way could you run like a 3-3 defense, like something weird, and make him like a roamer?
Mm-hmm.
And like just put – say, listen, you do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you just run like a flat square
defense.
Whatever
it feels like. And so that way there's no predicting.
There's no predicting anything.
Right.
He might blitz. He might drop back. He might like double team your best wide receiver.
If you're the Browns, why not?
Well, they lost almost every game last year.
Yeah, you kind of won another first round, like early first round.
There was a predictions for this year. I don't know if you saw this.
No.
New England is favored in every game this year.
Yeah.
Cleveland is favored to lose in every game this year.
Really?
In 2017, yeah.
Sounds about right.
Jeez. I mean, they made a huge thing in the draft, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't lose every game.
Well, I think if you're a Browns fan, you kind of want them to lose every game.
To get a high pick?
Yeah. You're not going to win the Super Bowl.
Who are you getting?
I don't know. We haven't seen the college
season. I would
like
to see them get better. I don't care at this point.
JT.
Barrett? No. Keep going.
Well, the only other thing in the draft to mention is I'm watching it, and the Browns do what they do, and then the next pick is the 49ers, and they're talking about picking up this Solomon kid who's supposed to be this great defensive player, and then all of a sudden the Bears and the 49ers trade picks.
Yeah.
And so they just basically swap. So the Bears now have the two pick, and the 49ers have the three pick.
So you're thinking like Deshaun Watson or something.
Well,
big, right?
The overwhelming thought from the guys at ESPN was they liked Solomon, and they wanted him.
Right.
And then they take Mitch Trubisky. Mitchell, has there ever been a quarterback named Mitchell who's any good?
Scott Mitchell?
That doesn't count when it's the last name. No. Yeah, I mean, I don't know Mitch Trubisky from a hole in the wall. If Mitch Trubisky walked in the studio right now wearing a shirt that said, I'm Mitch Trubisky, I don't know. I would be... So, maybe he's good. Maybe he's the next Tom Brady. I don't know, but it seemed like a stretch. And if I was a Bears fan, I think I'd be furious because that's the last thing we need is a rookie quarterback getting killed.
A rookie quarterback, and there's nothing special about him. Like, he's, like, short.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not... He doesn't have...
5 foot nothing, 100 nothing.
I mean, there's nothing special about him. It'd be different if he's, you know, 6'5 and 230 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like, Dak Prescott's a big dude.
He is.
You know, Mitch is not a big dude. He's a little guy.
Yeah. Well, time will tell, but it seemed like a huge mistake. So, other looking back stuff. Right now, as we speak, the NBA playoffs, we know that the Warriors and the Cavs are swept.
Right. Everything.
Everything. They're both 8-0. Right. And you almost feel like the way they're playing, they could...
Continue to sweep. Right.
Do you feel like all of the talk about the Cavs over the last 2 months of the season and all the worrying about why aren't they playing well and they're losing and their record is like 500 since Christmas or whatever or less than... And they're not very good. I always said, and you could go back and listen, I always said that I thought that they were just trying stuff out and they just weren't worried about it. And they would flip the switch when they got in the playoffs. It feels like the switch has been flipped, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're playing teams that aren't great. Well, I mean, they're okay.
Yeah, well, they're playoff teams. Yeah. They're NBA playoff teams.
And
during the regular season, they were losing to, like, the Orlando Magic and stuff like that. I mean, it wasn't...
I side a little bit with Draymond on this.
Okay, what's Draymond's position?
That the East is completely weak, and every team that Cleveland is playing has just rolled over and died.
Yeah, because the Warriors just beat the Utah Jazz, that juggernaut, you know.
I'm not saying the Warriors' path to this point has been clear.
No, there is no doubt that the Warriors' next series will be tougher, opponent than the Cavs' next series.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the Spurs and the Rockets are significantly better than the Celtics or the Wizards.
Right.
But up until this point, Draymond, shut up. I mean, just shut up. I cannot stand Draymond Green. The other thing is he's calling Kelly Olynyk, the Boston Celtics player, a dirty player.
He is.
Okay, well, pot calling the kettle black, I think, is a phrase that I've heard before, and I think that's what he's doing now.
Okay. I mean, he's also dirty.
Yes.
I don't mind the dirty play. I think every team needs a guy like that.
I think there's two different kinds of dirty.
Crafty and just, like, straight up dirty.
Yeah, like a thug. You know, he's even worse than a thug. He kicks people in the privates. You know, that's like the lowest form of a dirty player. The only thing worse than that is actively trying to injure. Like, you see somebody's foot coming down, so you put your foot under him to hope that he's going to turn an ankle and, like, tear something.
A.K.A. Joakim Noah.
Yeah, Joakim Noah. I don't even call him a basketball player. that's the worst kind of dirty player, who somebody's, like, actively trying to injure the other person. Then it's...
Grayson Allen.
Tripping? I'd take tripping over what Draymond does.
Here's the difference. Draymond is, if he was a dirty player, he would still be considered, you know, one of the best, like, four guys in the league right now.
He's not one of the best four guys.
No, four man. Power forward.
Okay.
Right? I mean, he plays a four position,
whatever.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
Kind of.
He's probably one of the best, I don't know, six or seven.
No, better than that.
I don't want to go through the list because that's boring, but continue. I'm not saying he stinks. I'm not saying he's not good at basketball.
He's a very, very, very good player on a very, very good team who happens to be dirty.
I can't stand him. I just can't stand him. He's a mouth breather. He's a dirty player, and he thinks he's better than he is, and he needs to shut up.
He's my son's favorite player right now, I think.
He is?
Gideon, yeah.
You need to fix that.
I kind of like it.
I cannot stand Draymond. Draymond is somehow related to LaVar Ball. I don't know how, but...
Like long-lost brothers.
They're somehow...
Twins separated at birth.
Yeah, somehow they're related because they're both made of the same stuff. It's just, shut up. Just shut up. I just can't take it anymore.
Did you get a pair of his shoes yet?
The new Lonzo Ball shoes?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I had to.
Come on. What are we talking about?
Yeah. I play basketball every morning. It's an investment.
It was a $500 pair of shoes.
Yeah.
I had to have them.
Yeah, but a thing is worth what you pay for it. You know, I pay a little bit more for a $500 pair of shoes, but it's going to last longer.
Yeah.
I could buy 20$20 pairs of shoes. I don't know how the math adds up there, but...
That's $400.
Okay. Well, and still have $100 left over. But how soon are those going to wear out?
Yeah.
And they're not the Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, balling. I mean, how can you ball without ball shoes?
I'm a baller.
Yeah.
I've always said that about myself. Oh my gosh. I can't even. Can't even.
Looking forward.
So that's all the looking back stuff, right?
Yeah.
One more thing to look back on.
Okay.
Tony Romo missed the cut.
The U.S. Open.
Yes. But you feel like he's going to get it one of these days.
He shot a 75.
And now he's just coming off of football. Now he can dedicate himself to golf.
If he chooses to do so.
Yeah.
I think in 2 years he can make the U.S. Open.
Six shots. He was six shots off the cut.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
But I think he could do it.
Yeah. A 75, that's nothing to sneeze at.
That's pretty good.
If he just really just says this year.
Who knows, like, if that was like a really, really good game for him or if that's an average game. If it's an average game and then he has it on a hot day, sure.
Or he just spends the next year, he goes to the driving range and plays and gets a pro.
And who knows, I don't even know what his weakness is. And like if it's a short game, you know, he can work on that.
Yeah.
If it's his long game, he's probably not hitting the ball any further.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's pushing 40, right?
Right.
He's not getting any better as far as distance, but...
I mean, as long as I know, as far as I know, being the field goal holder is not something that you have to do in golf.
No.
So that was his big weakness. And what is the position I'm trying to say?
Placeholder.
Placeholder, yeah. That was his big weakness in the pros.
Which, why do you have a starting quarterback hold kicks?
I think at the time he was just... That was his first year where he was the backup, but then he got the starting job because somebody got hurt.
I don't know.
And so they still had him.
No, I think that was a couple years into his run. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
What
else? I still watch that and think he's going to make it every single time.
He still lets up.
Yeah.
If he would have just leaned forward, I think he would have had it.
I'm like, oh, he's got it. He's got it. He's got it.
Nope.
Gets me every time. All right, so that's looking back. Looking forward, Jason, what do we have to look forward to?
Well, we're going to find out here in the next day or two. You know, who's going to the NBA Finals.
Is that
or,
the,
you know, the conference
is that the
finals?
Most... If I told you you can watch one sport for the next 2 weeks, it would be...
NBA playoffs.
Right, it would be the NBA.
Right, there's nothing in the NFL going on, Ryan. I don't care about soccer. Hockey, bleh. Right?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Baseball, I love baseball, but baseball is a marathon sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be around for a while.
So what's your prediction for the next round?
Okay, so I think San Antonio is going to beat Houston. Now, Kawhi Leonard got hurt the other
night. I know.
And I don't know how bad it was. He hurt his ankle.
Yeah.
I was watching the game, and he sat out the whole overtime.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
It is.
Because that was a critical game.
Manu stepped in.
Manu is stupid crazy. I don't understand.
It's like 300 years old.
Skeletor.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah.
So you feel like San Antonio, Golden State.
Okay, if Leonard's healthy, San Antonio wins.
Because they're already up 3-2.
Yeah, if Leonard's hurt,
yeah.
I think Houston can win.
If you are Golden State, would you rather play San Antonio or Houston?
San Antonio. I do not want to play Houston.
Because they could get hot.
Yes. Houston, I was watching them the other night, they shot something like 67 three-pointers in a game.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Right.
That's crazy.
They don't let up. It's just what they do.
That's what I'm saying is if you're running, because Golden State likes to do that too.
Yeah.
Run and shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
That game, I mean, the score could be 180 to 170. It could be like NBA All-Star game.
As a basketball fan, I think I'm rooting for the Houston-Golden State series. I think it'd be more fun to watch.
It's awful defense.
Who cares?
I mean, if you're a real fan of the game, I think you like both things. If you're a casual fan, I think you like offense.
Yeah. If I had to choose, though.
It'll be fun to watch.
It'll be fun to watch. But, you have San Antonio, Golden State, but you have Golden State beating San Antonio.
Yeah.
Sweeping?
No, they're not going to sweep. Both Cleveland and Golden State it'll be 4-1.
Four and one.
They'll lose one game.
They'll lose one on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Golden State, Cleveland. You have Golden State in...
No.
You have Cleveland?
I'll take Golden State in... My earlier prediction was 7.
Right.
I'm going to stick with it.
So you have Golden State in 7.
Yeah.
I have Cleveland in 7.
Yeah. It's this... If anything else happens other than that, mm-hmm. I'm going to be disappointed.
7 games.
7 games in Cleveland... Golden State.
Right.
If one of those teams happens to trip up.
Yeah. The last thing you want to see is like a Washington Wizards Houston Rockets final that goes like 5 games.
No, it'd be, I think, what's the worst possible matchup? I think Wizards San Antonio.
Yeah. Because
Houston at least is fun to watch.
And you feel like you've seen San Antonio there so long, it's like boring.
Yeah.
Right. And in Boston, at least there's some nostalgia with the Celtics. And Isaiah Thomas is kind of fun to watch. Yeah. The Wizards Spurs. In 5, right? Yeah. That the Spurs win in 5.
It's not a sweep. It's just ugly.
And every game is a blowout.
Yeah. That's got the worst combo. The best scenario is Cleveland Golden State.
In 7.
In 7.
To me, this is one of like, it's really one of the greatest sports kind of happenings, the way just everything fell together of all time, that you have these two teams playing for 3 years in a row, then they split the first two.
Yeah,
Golden State wins the first. Cleveland. Now it's like, this is it.
Yeah,
this is for the bragging rights.
I think individually, both of these teams could be considered historically great teams.
Yeah,
Golden State, had Cleveland not been around, would mm-hmm. be a historically great team,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. Cleveland could have won multiple, championships in a row had it not been for Golden State. So.
That first year that Cleveland was there, they played Golden State tougher than anybody thought. And they had injuries.
Yeah.
And the way everything was, I think Cleveland's playing good right now. I mean, they are really – it's not a fluke. LeBron James is having probably the most efficient playoffs of all time. He is a combination of Shaq and Steph Curry. Here's his statistics, right? Shaq's best season with the Lakers, he shot 62% in the paint. LeBron James is shooting 66% in the paint in these playoffs.
I would say most of those paint shots are on breakaway dunks.
Still. Shaq got a lot of dunks, too.
Not on fast breaks.
Three-pointers. Steph Curry's best season with the Warriors is 46% from the three-point line. LeBron James in this playoffs, 47%. Listen, if LeBron James is hitting one out of every 2 three-pointers, forget about it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't guard that.
Well, here's where LeBron James fails, is when he settles for that three.
Yeah.
Like, when he's in motion and rhythm.
And it's part of the flow of the game.
It's part of the flow. Then he's...
It's that, like, dribble, 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 dribble.
And then fadeaway three.
Right.
Yeah. Step back, fadeaway three.
Right.
Like, you don't want to see that.
No, because that's frustrating. That's very frustrating.
And he's not good at that. Mm-hmm. He does so much better in the flow and just pulled up. Now, occasionally he'll hit one of those.
I think my favorite player to watch right now is Kyrie Irving. He is just... It's just sick, the stuff that he does.
Yeah.
I mean, the little dribble, like when he splits the defenders and just kind of throws the ball through and then just kind of wiggles through and picks it up. And he's such a good finisher, finishes with both hands. Kyrie Irving is the best, like, on-ball, like, just shot creator, I think, in basketball right now.
I don't know.
I don't think anybody creates their own shot better than he does.
James Harden is pretty good.
James Harden has that weird Euro step thing.
Yeah.
But I think Curry has more things in his arsenal than James Harden. James Harden does like 2 things really well.
I also think Curry does very, very good creating a shot. He doesn't drive as much, but he does a little crossover step back, and he drains
it. Well, he's the best at creating his own 3 because he's got such a quick release.
Right.
But just getting a shot off, I don't know. There's nobody like Kyrie. He's doing stuff that I've honestly never quite seen in the NBA before. Yeah. I mean, you've seen it on like street ball stuff and things like that, but I never saw Pete Maravich play. So maybe if I'd seen him, but the stuff Kyrie's doing is really amazing.
I was thinking that earlier today when we were playing basketball, actually. Like
when I beat you?
No.
Okay.
You won 3 games, I won 2 games.
Yeah, but the second 2 games were stupid.
No, it was 3-2.
Okay.
Okay. You won 3, I won 2 games.
Okay, congratulations.
Anyways, I was just thinking, you know, John Havlicek, like the old black and white footage, you see him dribbling straight up and straight down.
Yeah.
Running up and down the court.
Bum, 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 bum.
I don't know who the first one to do it was, but the first guy, like, cross over in between the legs,
mm-hmm.
everybody was probably crapping themselves.
What?
Like, what just happened?
Right.
Like, can he do that?
Uh-huh.
You know, like the first time that happened, or the first time, like you dribble, like they get that, you know, behind the back dribble to cross over and bring it back.
Yeah.
Like the first time that happened, like what? Pete Maravich was the first guy to do a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
I could watch, like, just YouTube Pete Maravich all day.
Yeah.
It's just, my favorite thing is, like, the full court underhand, one hand underhand pass.
Yeah.
You see him do that?
Yeah.
And he hits the guy in stride. It's like a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's perfect. And he just, kind of scoops down and throws it up.
He was very fluid.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Do you think he could have played today?
Yes, absolutely. No doubt. I think you take him out of the, like, time machine,
drop
him in today,
okay,
he
can
play.
In today's world,
yeah,
would he be an all-star?
Absolutely. Okay. I think he'd do better in today's world than he did back then because of the way the game is set up. Like, it's there's less hand-checking on defense. There's a three-point line.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he would dominate today. He's like, imagine if Jason Williams, White Chocolate, could shoot and was like a foot taller.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's who he is.
Yeah. No, I wish. I mean, we never saw him play.
All
we've seen clips.
I just know the YouTube clips.
Yeah. Our dad talks very highly about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I don't know. I like watching his instructional stuff.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He's got one where he, like, throws it sideways and then flips his wrist back.
It's like magic.
Like, what is he doing? The ball's going opposite of where he's throwing it.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. All right, well, there you go. Stuff to look back on, stuff to look forward to. That's what we do on Lower Road Radio. Anything else before we shut her down?
I'm looking forward to the next podcast.
Oh, this one that we just recorded definitely is going to get dropped. Like, this one won't go to the trash.
Yeah, no, we're going to post it right away.
This was a good one.
It was a very, well, I mean.
It was a top. Yeah, I think it was in the top 50%.
I was going to say B minus.
Okay.
If we letter grade it.
Yeah.
It's not an A show.
Let's do this from now on. At the end of every episode.
Let's letter grade it.
Letter grade this episode. You give it a B minus?
Yeah.
I give it a B. I'm not quite B minus.
Okay.
Okay.
I think the listeners need to.
Listeners, please write into the show.
Grade every episode.
Grade every episode.
Letter grade.
I don't know if I can handle that kind of criticism. All right. Well, this is Dan signing off for Jason, reminding you to always keep your stick on the ice and never wear the blue sweats.